Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and this radio program, this Aspire offering is being given to you for April 11th, 2020. We're going to take a look at what it means to be considerate, especially now with everything that is going on with the virus and people in general. I know this is a touchy subject for a lot of people right now, this idea of being considerate. So it's interesting, the emails that I've received regarding all of this. So we'll take a look at it, what it means to be considerate and compassionate and all of that. I want to remind you that these radio programs are solely and entirely supported by your tax-deductible gift. It is only through your contributions, your kindness, your generosity, especially during this time, that Aspire is allowed to continue. And I hope you will become a sponsor and help us sustain. What does the word considerate mean? According to the dictionary, careful not to cause inconvenience or hurt to other people. And generally, you know, do no harm. What does it mean to be thoughtful now? I don't know about you, but I live in an area that is partly elderly and partly in their 50s. And a lot of people lose it very quickly. And I am watching how people have lived on the inside of themselves with the events and the circumstances that we are going through. Now, I have to admit something here, and you got to understand, I have not been out much. So the reason being is due to work, believe it or not, but I haven't been out much. So some of the things that I've heard from people who fetch for me, go in and get a few things for me that I might need, have told me stories. So I'm going to always preface anything I say with, I wasn't there, I didn't see it, but here's what was told to me. Okay, I want you to understand that. I don't want you to think I'm having all these experiences. First question is Jill from Los Angeles, and she says, how do I become kind when faced with the inconsiderate people who are around me grabbing things off the shelves, etc., and bullying? Jill, I haven't heard of any bullying, so I don't know. I really don't know about the bullying, but if it's there, if she says it's there, I'm sure it's there. So how do you become kind? Especially when you need something that's there at the store and somebody else takes it right from underneath your nose. We're not used to this in America, are we? We're not used to not having everything we want, when we want, as we want. So it is very difficult for us to even consider this whole thing. This is something that I have talked about for many years, both on radio, on TV, with my students. This is something that is very difficult for most people to comprehend and understand. You and I are working now off of survival mechanism, DNA. And our DNA is very strong in us to survive, no matter what age we're at. So, Jill, I assume you're at the grocery store. I'm assuming all of this, so forgive me if I'm wrong. And all of a sudden, somebody, as you are to reach for the proverbial toilet paper, find that they snatch it away, and you're standing there empty-handed, and they're running down the aisle for the next thing, and they took your quasi toilet paper. And so now you have to stand there and ask yourself, well, what do I do about all this, or do I do anything about it? What are you going to do? You're going to go into fisticuffs over this, over toilet paper? There's a lot of alternatives to toilet paper. I'm not going to sit here and give them to you, because I leave that to your imagination. But there are things you can do. One of the things that you must understand, and this is this whole thing with the virus is showing us the world that we live in. You get to see what I've been talking about for many, many years. We are animals. We live like animals. We think like animals. We are animals. And anything that threatens us in any way, shape, or form looks to us like life and death. So there is a statement that Lhotse made, and I know you're not going to like it. None of the things that I'm going to say to you are you going to like. So please forgive me for that. You're going to have to yield and overcome. Yield and overcome, which means in this category, if you develop anger in you or hatred or resentment for the way people act out of their desperateness, you are only hurting yourself. You're only creating more and more anger in you. Now, justified anger is no different than personal anger. Let's put it that way. Everybody feels justified in their anger. So when you look at it and you see people being maybe unkind or rude to you, to take it personally, to make it a personal affront is a very silly thing to do. It is against what it is that we are here to do. And now you're going to have to trust in as you give, so shall you receive mentality. You're going to have to trust in being led and guided to the places where you need to go to get whatever it is you think you need. And most people are not of this ilk. They are going to be raw. They're going to be mean-spirited. They're going to want and take from others just for the sake of their own survival. And if you're the type of person who takes that personally, you're going to miss. This is now where the rubber meets the road. We are there where the rubber meets the road. We are there. We're going to have to rebuild ourselves. We're going to have to rebuild our communities. After this is all over, we're going to have to rebuild everything. And the problem is, when we do rebuild, it won't be with the consideration of other people. It will be in consideration of our own survival, which is going to make us ruthless. We're in a very interesting age of spirituality now. We have really crossed over a line to where every one of us is subject to what we have or have not achieved from within ourselves. And if we have not achieved any sense of consideration, compassion, or kindness towards other people, towards ourselves, it's going to show up in spades. And the American public is considerate, I think, when it is convenient. But when it's inconvenient and it's every person for themselves, that's when we have difficulty, and that's where we are right now in that very difficulty. So what can I say to you? Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Give. If this kind of situation happens, Jill, you have to understand you had a rendezvous with these people one way or the other because of maybe your spiritual indifference towards your own life, your own self. And now you're left to your bodily senses. You're left to the wiliness of your ego and your physical body, and it's feeling threatened and insecure. And you're going to have to take a deep look at this and ask yourself, am I going to act like an animal? Or am I going to render unto Caesar here, yield and overcome, and find another way around all of this, and maybe a way to help other people? How about that, in the same cause? So, you know, I look at it like I have a rendezvous with everything I need in my life. I have a divine rendezvous. And that rendezvous was put into motion based on many, many things that I did in the course of my lifetime. And a lot of our life, whether you want to understand this or not or believe it, is based in the level of your forgiveness. If you are a forgiving person, if you are the type of person who has been extremely forgiving and conscious about the way you lived your life and the way you do live your life, then you're going to find everything is available for you in a way in which is necessary for your livingness. It may not be the things you want. It may not be the things you think you should have, but it will be there. And learning to make more out of less is truly an inspiration, truly something that will help you awaken. But then again, that sounds insane to the pedestrian mentality and not very appealing. So how far that will go with you, I do not know. I don't know. Jill, we're stretching now. You know, this is the time to love thy neighbor as thyself. Please forgive me. Namaste. I don't have anything gratifying enough to get people to really listen to what I'm saying. And I never have. This has always been a problem with my message, is that there's nothing gratifying in it. And there's always, but what if, but what ifs. And so now we're past all that in this lifetime with the calamity that's going on. And we all have to learn how to love one another and share with one another and be trusting. And that isn't something Americans feel like they have to do. They have bigger things and better rights and all that. The next question, should we reward the inconsiderate by being considerate to them? Rachel, and she is also from LA. I don't think it's reward, Rachel. I really don't. Being considerate to another person, being yielding to another person, brings about one thing in us that we, you know, don't consider very important, and that is virtue. The virtue of kind of living beyond the ideals of right and wrong, good and bad. Virtue is a very important quality. And what I have found in my life, and this is just in my life, is that if I did not have virtue in the beginning of my years and as a person growing up, I was put in positions and in situations that would define and grow that virtue itself. And that's exactly what has happened. I look at people and I see the fear in their eyes. I see the anger in them. I see all sorts of things that are coming out now in droves. And they're afraid they're going to die, get sick and die. And they see no way around it but to be mean-spirited or to be hoarding and things like that right now, which seem to be the most important thing in the world to them. I got to get mine before you get yours. And then, well, what about what you've done to me by taking more than what you actually needed in a given situation? And they don't care. They just don't care. Too bad for you. That kind of thing. The squeaky wheel gets the oil, you know. It just, the early bird catches the worm kind of thing. We have here lines of people going into grocery stores, and it's something that most of us have never experienced before. We just walk into a store. We take it for granted. And now we have to be around people. You know, we're told not to be, just to get food and the necessities we need, toilet paper, things like that. There you are. We don't like any of this. There is so many oxymorons in this, we can't figure it out, because the only thing we care about is how do we get what we want, get home, and not get the virus. That's the only thing that matters to us. So with all of this being said, how do you, or we, you say, reward the people who are inconsiderate? You don't reward them. You forgive them. And maybe instead of making them thieves, as it were, you give them, and then they're not thieves anymore. You render to them. You yield to them. Oh, you need this? Fine. And if they want to get nasty about it, the whole object is my state of being, my state of mind, more important to me and more valuable than the object of which I am grabbing for, the object of which I seem to covet, the object that I seem to want? Which is more important? And there is even a bigger picture than that to all of this. And it's not a popular one, but I will say it anyway. So if I give this to you and I don't have what I need, am I willing to live in that, even die in that, knowing I gave and I forgave? And that's the only thing that really matters in this world. We don't understand the human animal. We don't understand how vicious it is, how selfish it is. We have lived by it for so long that we have become used to its poisons, its digressions, its hatreds. And we've rationalized its hatred and its digressions with age and rationales of moral beliefs of right and wrong, good and bad. We've done this for so long that we think in terms of our life being fair. I've been fair most of my life, or all of my life. I feel myself that life has given me far more than I was ever able to give it back. I work very hard at giving it back, day and night, because I feel the compassion that life has had for me, the consideration and the compassion for someone like me. And I really work very hard at staying above Greg Penn. Greg Penn, who wants to think that this is fair and this is wrong and this is right and I should have this and not that. I don't do that. I'll take what's there and I will be grateful for it. There's an old Zen story that I have always been deeply moved by. And when I first heard it, I was so struck by the compassion of it, the lovingness of it, that I wept. I just wept. It's a story about this beautiful monk named Chayono. She was very beautiful. Very, very beautiful. And when she would go into any monastery to practice any place where they were teaching meditation, she would have to leave because the other monks couldn't concentrate. That's how beautiful she was. So she poured acid on her face and disfigured it and was finally accepted into a monastery. That's how far she was willing to go. Not many people would do that, but that's how deep her pull was to awaken. She was moving to a monastery that would accept her, and on her way, she had to stop at a village, and no one would give her any room to stay in. They wouldn't give her any shelter. It was a cold spring night. So she had to stay outside and bundled herself under a tree and gave thanks for the tree and gave thanks for the beautiful sky she was looking at and the darkness of the night with the stars and the moon were just beautiful. And she was interesting, to say the least. She gave thanks for what happened. She wrote a poem about it called No Water, No Moon, which sits above me at this very moment and has been in my office for, gee whiz, many, many years. I can't even count them, 30 years or so. It's very, very interesting. In this way and that, I tried to save the old pail. That's the beginning stanza. Since the bamboo strips were weakening and about to break, until at last the bottom fell out, no more water in the pail, no more moon in the water, she wrote. She was a very beautiful person. She understood giving and forgiving and didn't take it personally that these people could not share and help her. So I say to you, Raquel, that this is a very difficult time we're in, and the bamboo strips in our minds are going to break, and the bottom of the pail is going to fall out, and we're going to have a whole new life. And we're going to need, after this is all done, to be very compassionate and very giving, to want love more than wanting what we think is love. So all I can say to you is be kind, be kind, be generous, be willing, be kind, be generous, be willing. Please forgive me. Namaste. The last question, real quick, from Gil. I have often been considerate, but only to get people to think of me in this way. Is there anything I can do to change my ill state of motive? Not many people write this kind of thing to me, and I really want to thank you, Bill, for that. It was beautifully done. Yes. Yes. Just give because you can. Don't hoard. Don't fight. Don't hate. Don't blame. Just give because you can. And do everything you can to help one another or anyone as best you can. Just give. This is the time we need true givers. People who offer their hearts and at times their stuff, whether that be hand cleaners or toilet paper or whatever, to give because you can, to give to be generous, to give to help another person, and to look at life from a different perspective. When I look at life from the kindness of the heart, the authentic heart that lives in all of us, and I respond to another person with the whole effort of their heart to my heart, their kind heart, we become one. We become bigger than the situation itself. We become larger than the problem. And we, obviously, in that moment, we overcome. And that's really what it's all about, to overcome. Overcome what? My fear of death, my fear of hate, my fear of inconvenience, just to be considerate and compassionate to another person for the sake of love. Everything in this lifetime, Bill, is about love. So do what you do for the sake of a love, a great love in your heart. Let love live you. That's always my motto. Not let Bill or Greg live us, but let love live us. And that means getting quiet. That means getting atoned and attained and virtuous. And that means wanting nothing with all of my heart. You will find that all of this plays out very well in your life and can change many things about you. How it will change your outer life, I do not know. It may not. But one thing for sure, if it changes me, it changes my life. I'm out of here. Thank you for listening. Have a beautiful day. We'll have more tomorrow. Please forgive me. Namaste.